This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go get it!
The guys on the inside. Green Bay football insider Michael Cohen on The Fan is brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Marola.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries from the Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios on a green and gold Monday. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. This our insider, Michael Cohen, with The Athletic, who joins us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good. After last night, they were able to hold off and win that game, but I think what will they do with Aaron Rodgers today? He's going to go through more tests. What do you know about the knee? What's going to be done with him today? And Bart and I were just talking earlier that it doesn't seem like, you know, he is out of the water just yet, that he's going to be ready to go next week. He's going to find out more today what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, he has to undergo an MRI, and there's other scans he can undergo as well that just aren't simple enough to do, you know, in a halftime setting. You know, an MRI would take 15 to 20 to 30 minutes, depending on how quickly they're able to get it done. And obviously, that's not something that you do during the course of a game. So those are the types of things that he'll undergo today. And there's all different types of, you know, potential results that need to be discussed and ruled out and clarified and things like that. Because you can do what Rodgers did last night with a bevy of different injuries or without a bevy of different injuries. So they're going to be looking for things like meniscus tears and cartilage issues and, you know, bone bruises and all those different types of things that just don't show up on x-rays or quick manual tests of the knee very often. So that's sort of what Rodgers and team physician Dr. Patrick McKenzie will sort through today and probably into tomorrow as well, depending on how much swelling is in the knee. And then as the week goes on, the Packers will get a better idea of exactly what they're dealing with.
You know, after what happened with Martellus Bennett and Dr. Pat McKenzie last year and the accusations, for Rodgers to come out and play in that game, they must have been pretty certain that it wasn't, that further damage couldn't have been done. I'm a little, you know, nervous for him and for, as a Packer fan, of course, what we might find out if there's something torn or whatever, because we've seen athletes play on something with the adrenaline and then come back and they're going to miss a couple of weeks. But they must have felt, Michael, unless I'm wrong, that he was okay, or at least he wasn't going to do, as Rodgers said in the press conference, any further damage to whatever it is that happened.
Yeah, my understanding of that, and, you know, again, I'm not a physician by any means, and I certainly could be wrong, but my understanding of that means that they were confident his ACL wasn't torn, and that was basically what they were looking for, because that's certainly the main, you know, element of stability, the most, you know, crucial element in the knee. And so I think that when they were confident based on the manual test that that wasn't the case, and again, this is just my interpretation of what was said, but when they were confident that wasn't the case, then anything else, you know, is not threatening enough to the knee that Rodgers couldn't go back there and play a more intelligent game from the standpoint of not scrambling around, not doing anything crazy, and he could manage it a little bit better. So I don't think there's any question that there's still a risk for other things. I mean, you know, there's athletes who play all the time with a torn meniscus or a torn cartilage. There's athletes all the time who don't realize that some of the other ligaments are torn because they're not as pivotal to the overall stability of the knee. So there's definitely a lot of information that needs to be worked through in the next couple of days.
Michael Cohen with The Athletic here on The Fan. It almost seems like, you know, from my observations, that Rodgers and this offense works better when there is some sort of an injury, because it forces him to stay in the pocket. Maybe it neutralized the pass rush, which for the Bears was incredible in the first half, and then it went away. Was him being in the pocket and throwing quicker the reason the pass rush went away, or did the offensive line really, like, hulk up and figure it out? What was the reason why the Bears' pass rush completely disappeared in the second half?
I think it was a little bit of both. You know, when Rodgers is throwing the ball that quickly, it just means that they have much, you know, the oncoming rushers have much less time to get to the quarterback. And I think that that was certainly a factor in the third and fourth quarter. And then also I think that the offensive line played better. They found ways to sort of trip and, you know, alter the path of Khalil Mack. They found ways to, you know, be stouter inside with Akeem Hicks and some of the guys that the Bears have through the middle of their defensive line. So it was probably a little bit of both, but I don't think there's any question that, and we've seen it over the last couple of years, when Rodgers goes to this real quick offense, be it because of injuries on the offensive line or injuries to himself, where he's throwing all kinds of, you know, tiny little passes here and there and everywhere, it's a very difficult offense to stop. I just don't get the sense that for Mike McCarthy and Rodgers that it's the most enjoyable offense, and that's why it tends to look differently when everyone is healthy, because they want to do different things and accomplish different things, and throwing all these 6 and 7 and 10 and 5 and 4 and 11 yard passes is not aesthetically pleasing to guys who want to try and, you know, do things a little more complicated and more complex given their talent and football intellect.
What was the biggest difference with Khalil Mack in the second half, where he was wreaking havoc in the first half? Did he get tired? Did the Packers make some adjustments? Did the Bears not do anything to put him in position? What was the biggest difference there, you think?
Well, I think that's the question I just answered. You know, they got the ball out of Rodgers' hands more quickly, and they found ways to disrupt Mack by either chipping him here and there with a tight end or a running back, or at least lining up a guy on his side to obstruct his path to the quarterback initially so that he couldn't go from straight line A to B and had to, you know, work his way around certain things. And I'm sure there was also an element of fatigue. The guy hadn't played a football game since December, and he'd only practiced maybe two and a half times since then, depending on how strict the Bears were with his rep count, you know, during practice this week. So it's, you know, pretty much exactly what I answered in the previous question of how they slowed down the pass rush.
How much different was the Mike Pettine defense that you saw in 1 week compared to what you've seen from Don Capers in the years you've been covering the team? Because there were some times where the results maybe been the same, but could be because of the personnel. There were some missed tackles. You know, there were some underneath zones that the Bears were able to hit passes on. Did it look that different from your eyes?
Yeah, there were some different concepts and different personnel groupings being used. Pettine used a lot of three defensive linemen, which Capers didn't do very often. Three defensive linemen in a sub package, not three defensive linemen in base. He used single inside linebacker sets with just Blake Martinez as opposed to having Martinez plus another inside linebacker. They used different situations with 6 and 7 defensive backs in moments when Capers didn't typically do that. So there were definitely some differences, but there were also some times when the results were very similar, as you mentioned. And I think that the fact the defense played better in the second half certainly contributed to the comeback and allowed Aaron Rodgers to do what he was doing. But there's no question that there's a lot to improve on this defense, and the first half left a lot to be desired.
Now, if you're from the Bears side, what are you thinking? You're thinking, hey, you know what? We gave it our best shot. We let this one slip away. We should have did something differently in the second half when we had the lead. If you're on the Bears side, because I mean, it shows to me that the Bears have improved, but you know, the Packers still beat them last night.
Yeah, I mean, if Kyle Fuller catches a football that hits him directly in the hands, then the Bears win the game. So I don't know how much they need to look at this and say, oh my gosh, I can't believe we didn't win this game. We're not good enough. We must not be at that level. I don't get that sense at all. I'm not saying that they're as good as the Packers if you played 10 games. But again, Aaron Rodgers threw a ball that hit Kyle Fuller directly in the hands with about 2 minutes to go. And if Fuller catches that ball, not only is it an interception that seals the game, but it's probably a pick six because there's nobody between him and the end zone except Devontae Adams, who had fallen down and was on the ground. So I think for the Bears, this will sting a lot because they know that they played well enough to win that game. And if one guy catches the football thrown right at him, then they do win that game. And I think it's going to be a tough pill to swallow for the Bears, but at the end of the day, one that will be certainly encouraging about what they can do within the confines of this division relative to three other teams. They may not win it, and they may not make the playoffs, and I think that both of those things are very unlikely. But they should be competitive in every division game that they play, and that has not always been the case the last few seasons.
We'll find out more about Rodgers. We'll hear from the guys this week, and we'll talk to you again about it on Thursday. Keep up the good work at The Athletic, and we'll talk soon.
All right, see you guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.